Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in the second Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, is daf Tzadi Tet, and we're holding right near the top. We finished yesterday the discussion between Rabbi Abo and the Minim, and today we begin a new issue, which is after we've discussed the questions of the nature of the various elements of La Sidlava and Elam Haba, and the Yimais HaMashiach, Nechemes Kagumogeg, and we've spoken about elements of Yimais HaMashiach, and the relationship of Mashiach to David HaMelech, to the original David HaMelech, and to the Tzores of the Ikvasa de Mashiach, after Mashiach comes, as our next point, and that is Tanya Reb Eliezer Omer. How long are the brachas of Yimot HaMashiach, that special period in which Klal Yisrael is zoicha to being on such an incredible madriga of all of the wonderful things that the Nevi'im prophesied for what's going to be Yimot HaMashiach, and the Chochma Gedela that will be zoicha to, and the brachas that will be zoicha to? How long is that period between the actual coming of Mashiach and then the hopefully, the Hashloma of the Bria, maybe with Trias HaMesim, according to some, or gradual changes at Golomala, Yimos HaMashiach, whatever it is. Those Yimos HaMashiach, says Rabbi Eliezer, are Arbaim Shana. Where do we see that? Well, it says Arbaim Shana Kut Bedor, and that Arbaim Shana Kut Bedor, I understand that the Pashtus of it is something that is bad, because it was exactly the door of the Midbar, right? And it says over there, the Davka, that we were not Roy in that time. Because it says that these were a people that were Merit Kenegan me. But actually, so Akut on that level would mean Akut I'm disgusted by. And I don't want that door. Amaram Toei Levavein. But the Gemara's understanding it now is that Keneged, that door of Arbaim Shana that was in the Midbar, that then, by learning not to be that way, a door that is Mitaken, the Toei Levav, we have a door instead that is coming, and that is Akut in the future, a lotion of the Aramaic. Akut is Nakat, which is to take something. So Akut Bedor, that said, I'm Toel above him. We don't want to be like that door. We want to be Mesakin, the door in the Midbar, and we will be the door that will be Zeche to what they were meant to be Zeche to. So that's the way that Rebbe Eliezer sees the Remez in Lashon Atid of Akut as Nakat. I took it to myself. Rebbe Eliezer ben Azariah Omer, Itshiv Im Shana. Why? Because it says in the Navi in Yeshayahu, so this was the punishment of Tzor, that after Mos Shlomo, there was constantly a milchama with Tzor, and this was after the time that there was already a commitment that from the time of David HaMelech and through the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that there was peace between them. They helped to build the Beis HaMikdash, and because of that, they were punished with Shivim Shana, Kimei Melech Echad. Like the years that will be of that one king, which is a king for Kol HaOlam Kulei, which is a reference to Mashiach, Eze Melech Miuchad, Aviyomer Ze Melech HaMashiach, and it says over here Beferish, Shivim Shana. So it's a 70-year period. Rebbe Omer, Shlosha Dorot. Actually, Yimos HaMashiach will go on for three generations. Shenemar Yiraucha Im Shamesh, Vilifnei Yareach Dor Dorim. So what's Dor Dorim? So this is Yiraucha, this is the bracha to Malchus Beis David, that you will be feared across the globe, and that will be for how long? Dor and Dorim, which is one generation and two generations. And then Rabbi Hillel, that we saw earlier, in fact, holds that the wonderful years of Yimos HaMashiach were already ours during the time that the Gemara says was meant to be Yimos HaMashiach, finally, and those were the days of Chizkiyahu. So he says that all the special things that were told about, you know, the tremendous nisim v'niflos, that we're not going to have, because we already had that. Shekvar achalu b'mechis kiyo. The fact that we had those nisim, and then it was supposed to be Yom HaMashiach, basically we already had all of the enjoyment of that time. It doesn't mean that he holds that there won't be a geula, but as far as the special nevias that we had about the nisim and niflos, that we were already zeicha to. Omer of Yosef, shor elei mori le Rabbi Hillel. Ribbono Shalom should be meichel Rabbi Hillel. It's such a ridiculous thing that he said, and so clearly wrong, because, look, when did Chizkiyo have that nes? Amos have it. That was during the time of the Bayis Rishon. But take a look how much nevias there was about Yom HaMashiach. That was during the period after the Bayis Rishon, because Zechariah, when he was talking about, that's the time of Haggai Zechariah, that was after the Churban of the Bayis, and that was by Cheney. And he says, Gili ba'od bat Zion, Ari bat Yerushalayim, Hinei malkech yavolach, tzadik v'nosha, v'ani rochev al chamor, v'alayir ben atonot. So you see that these things that we're referring to as Yom HaMashiach was after this man of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Tanya Yidach, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Yemot HaMashiach 40 Shana. There's a Braita that discusses the same issue and brings Rebbe Eliezer Shita, 40 years, because Ksivacha Vaya Anrecha Vayar Ivecha, Uchtivatam Sabchenu Kimot Initanu Shinot Reinu Ra'a. So this is a completely different mocker for the same idea, in which we talk about, as we say all the time, from Tehillim, Samchinu Kimoti Nitanu. So we should have the Simcha that would be the same length of time when you saw us in such a matzav that we were full of Inui. Inui means like torture, afflictions. So that would mean that those days, Lechora, are the times that the word Ya'ancha appeared. Where does Ya'ancha appear? Vayancha vayariveka, which was the Arboim Shana in the Midbar, when we had the Mon. So that would be Samchenu Kimoti Nitonus, which neged the Zman of the Mon. Rabbi Dos Omer, it's 400 years, because it says the same Lashon of this idea of Inu, which is the Ya'ancha. Well, wasn't that Mitzrayim? And it says in the Pasuk, Vavadum v'inu otam, Arbomeot Shana. So that means we view that period as being a period of Vaya'ancha. And here it says, Samchenu kimot initanu, which means that the same period that we had that inui of v'inu otam Arbomeot Shana, we should be zeichetu v'yumot HaMashiach. Rebbe Omer? It's 365 years, which would be connected the number of days that you have in the Yemot HaChama. Shenemar ki yom nakam belibi ushnat geulai ba'a. So this yom nakam, we know that a yom is considered to be, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the midbar, we talked about yom, we had Yom Lashana, in other words, each one of those Arboim Yom of the Meraglim became a Shana of Nakam. So if there's a Shnat Geulai in terms of Yom Nakam, it would be 365 days. And why is it only Bilibi? I'm planning this in my heart. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Lilibi Giliti, but Leivarai Lo Giliti. This time that is Miyuchad, that this should happen, I did not express it to anybody outside, only to my innermost heart. Now, there's different pirushim. What's the meaning of my innermost heart? Some learned that means to the Aves and to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kates was Megula. Others learned to my the Reb Tzadok. Now, he explains that the difference between Libi and Evorai is the difference between the neshamas that come from the upper midas versus the neshamas that come from later, but it's all types of Kabbalistic issues which are not really relevant to us. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, I think it means lelibi giliti, but lemalachi hashores lo giliti. It means even to the malachim, No one is aware of what this Rosili is, my secret about the time of the Geula. Toni Avimi Bereda Rabbi Abo. Yimot HaMashiach LeYisrael Shiv'im Alafim Shana Shenemar U'mitzos Chatan Al-Kala Ken Yosis Alayich Hashem Elokecha. So basically, obviously this is not like the Alpayim Yimot HaMashiach, which we had before, according to Rav Katina. So that means that there's 7,000 years Kineged the Sheva Brachas. So for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since a Yom Beinecha, Be'elef Shana Beinecha's Kiyomet Moki Yavor, so that means the Sheva Brachas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Kimsos Chasan Al-Kala, will be 7,000 years. Omer Rav Yudah Omer Shmuel Yimot HaMashiach Kimiyom Shenivra Ha'olam V'ad Achshav. Actually, the time of Yemos HaMashiach is the equivalent of the time that the world existed up until the time that it began. So this is like a new world. And it says, Kimei HaShomayim Al Ha'aretz, right? So that's Yibuyim Mechem Al Adama. All of that is the same amount of time that was given to the Shomayim Al Ha'aretz. So whatever that time is, whatever will turn out to be. So that's the time that Mashiach will restore everything. Since such a thing never happened, we only had these very short periods of the 410 years, 420 years, but never Kimei HaShamayim Al Ha'aretz, it must be that that's a reference to Mashiach La'atid. Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, not from the time of the Bria until now, but from the time of Noach until now. Shenemar, ki mei Noach zot li asher nishbati, me'avor mei Noach, that amount of time, kein nishbati miktsof alayich migo'orbach, that will be the time that there will no longer be any anger of Midas HaDin against Yisroel, which means that would be from the time ki mi mei Noach. Omer Rabbi Chia.
That's what Rabbi meant? Not Shivim
Elef
Shana,
Shivat. What did I say? I said Shivim Elef?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too old for this. I no longer know what I'm saying. Sorry. Omer Rebbe Chia Bar Abba, Omer Rebbe Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim Kulan, Lo Nitamu Elo Yimot HaMashiach. All of these incredible sounding, amazing things that the Nevi'im speak about, which all sound like they're beyond life as we know it on this planet. But that's only referring to Yemot Mashiach. But Olam Haba, there nobody even attempted to say what life would be like, even metaphorically. Ayin lo ra'at Elohim zivatecha, ya'aseh l'machakelo. No one has seen what it is, and no one therefore can imagine what it is that you have prepared for those who have been waiting for you. Pliga de Shmuel. Now this, that Rabbi Yochanan says, that there was a difference to be between Yemot HaMashiach and the way we live now, because he's saying that all of these amazing things, they're all talking about Dafka Yemot HaMashiach. But Shmuel says, Ein beino olam hazeh leYemot HaMashiach ala she'ibud malchiyot bilvad, that there aren't any differences between the nature of the way we live today and the way we live later, other than social differences that we won't have any kind of shibud malchias. But other than that, you know, it's kilo yechdal avyon mikerav haaretz, things will be basically exactly the same. So if that's the case, remember this is the way Shmuel Gufa brought a raya from that kilo yechdal avyon, back in Brochus. But therefore, it must be that Rabbi Yochanan can't agree with Shmuel, because he is saying that all of these amazing Nevi'is, they are actually referring to Olam Hazeh and Dafka Yemos HaMashiach. So apparently he holds that it's going to be very, very different. And in classic Rambam fashion, the Rambam Paskins, both like Shmuel and like Rabbi Yochanan, right? So the Rambam Paskins beferish that he says, Omru Chachamim, Ein ben olam hazeh leYemot HaMashiach, Ela shibud malchias bilvad. So he says that those things, therefore, that we learn, are those are talking about in Yanim, I mean, that are just Mishalim. He says that there's amazing things that are said, you know. I mean, they put it in front of the UN. After all, the wolf will live together with the lamb, and the leopard's going to lie down, you know, that sign in front of the UN. All of that is from Yeshayahu. So apparently, the Rambam says, no, even though it says that, it's only a marshal. It means that Yisrael will live Bein Rishei Ha'amim. All of them are going to be doing teshuvah, and they'll recognize the Data Emet, and they're not going to continue to do the rod that they do, and so on and so forth. So those things will change. So the truth is that because he says it that way, he obviously is not pasking like Shmuel, because Shmuel's point is that lo yechtal avyon mikerva oretz, which means that he holds that in terms of human interchange, there's also not going to be any difference. That, the Rambam says, I don't pasken like. I pasken entirely like Rabbi Yochanan, except that I hold that the things that Rabbi Yochanan says that are meant to be Bimot HaMashiach, which you think sound like they are departures from nature. They're not departures from nature. They are metaphors. Fine, and at the time you'll understand, you know, each metaphor, particularly what it means. So therefore, it turns out that he understands that when the Gemara said that he's Chaylik Ushmul, it doesn't mean in terms of it being magical time. The Omer Rebbe Chia Barava, Omer Rebbe Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim Lo Nitnabu Ela Leva'ale Teshuvah, Avot Tzadikim Gemurim, Ayin Lo Ra'ata Elohim Zulatecha. So according to Rebbe Yochanan, the fact is that there are differences that we're talking about that are only true for these Baalei Tshuva, those incredible things that we hear about in the Nevi'im. But for Tzadikim Gemurim, there wasn't even an attempt to define how things will be. The Nevi'im wouldn't even discuss it, which is the opposite of Rabbi Avoh's approach. Because Rabbi Avoh quotes Rav as saying that Makom Sheba'alei Teshuva Omdim Sham Tzadikim Gemurim Einam Omdim Sham. So if Baalei Tshuva are in a particular Madrega, Tzadikim Gemurim can never come to that Madrega. Shenema, Shalom, Shalom, Larachok V'Lakarov. Who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say Shalom to first? The Rachok? So what does that mean? First to the Rachok, and then to the Karov. Now, what do you think that Rachok means? Somebody who is Rachok from Hashem, that's the one that he's close to? No. Rachok means he was Rachok, and then he did Teshuvah. Rachok to Meikara. Karov means he's always been Karov. So who is the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to first? The Rachok, which is the Baal Teshuvah. And what about Rabbi Yochanan? How does he explain the Pasuk then? Rabbi Yochanan says, Larachok doesn't mean Larachok to him. Larachok means Larachok mi'avira. And Lakarov means someone who was close to the Avira, and then he was Nitrachik mimena. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it works out okay. Lamaisa, Rav Tzadik and those that came before him that he actually quotes, they learn that the pshat over here is Merumas on two Madrigas. Because if you take a look at Korbanos, it's a very beautiful comparison. If you take a look at Korbanos, so the Korban Eila is Kulei Lashem, right? And it's brought up every last bit is Eila Lamala. So that's Keneged Tzadikim Gemurim. But where is the dam put of the Korban Eila? It's put on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. So it's not Eila on the same level in terms of showing the Nishmas, which is the Dam, who are Nefesh. Masha'in kein a Korban Chatas, so the Korban Chatas does it. Adarabba, it's given to the Kohanim to eat, and it's not put all the way Lamala. But where's the Dam of the Chatas put all the way on top by the Karnota Mizbeach? So both of these Pshatim are correct in terms of the Kedushas Haguf, that a person was Zeichatu in Olam Hazeh, Tzadikim Gemurim, are ahead of the game. And that's Keneged the Achil of the Achilas HaMizbeach, of the Boser of the Olam. Hashem came the Baal Tshuva, doesn't have that Kedusha, so Mimela is Nechal al Yedei the Kohanim, so to speak. But when it comes to the Aveda, that is considered to be the nefesh of the Adam, as far as its kirva l'Hashem is concerned, the nefesh of the Baal Teshuva is higher. That the Zohar says as well, that the nefesh seyim of Baal Teshuva come from a mokar that is higher than that of Tzadikim Gemurim. The Omer Ebechiyo Baraba Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kol ha-neviim kul'am lo nitnabu ela lamasi bito l'talmid chacham, ulo se pragmatia l'talmid chacham, or to mahaneh talmid chacham minechasav. So to be on the Madrega for the wonderful things that you understand the neviim are merames to, so that you can have a little bit of an insight into what that might mean, even if it's metaphorical and so on. But that is for those who are shayach to the Torah only tangentially. So they were people who they married Talmidei Chachamim into their family, or they go ahead and they make business investments for the Talmud Chacham so that he should be able to sit and learn, or they actually make an arrangement of giving their possessions, like Yisachar Zvulun, to allow Talmidei Chachamim to be nene from them. But someone who is himself the Talmud Chacham, Ayin lo ra'ata Elohim zulatecha. What is that about, by the way, this Ayin lo ra'ata? What is that referring to? Omar Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, that is Yayin na Meshubar b'anavav misheshet yimei bereshis. That's like the highest quality wine that the Bria will ever be able to produce, because it's been sitting there from the original wine of the grapes that were there from Sheshes Mei Bereshis, and it's been sitting in that vintage zero. So if that's, you can imagine what that wine tastes like. So this is, of course, a remez to the idea of the output of Bria, which is fine wine. So all of the idea, the same way that we think about wine in this way, and we understand that the wine, remember, what is so miyuchad about wine is that every one of those grapes, in just what we call wine, every one of those grapes has within it the taste, the smell, the record of every last thing that was influential in what it is that it achieved as that grape. So it's the soil, it's the weather at that time, it's the amount of sunlight that there was. It was the temperature. It was the particular DNA of that grape and how it related to all of the grapes that came before it, and what is miyuchad about it and its interrelationship with the earth and the way that it was cultivated and cared for. That is, every bottle of wine contains all of those interrelated factors and records it forever in the output. And that's why the wine is so looked at as being so special and so valuable, and that therefore it's called Das. Even in terms of the way that we refer to the taster of the wine, he's called a connoisseur. A connoisseur comes from the word for Das. And so even the Goyim recognize that this is a special chibur that is given, that comes from the wine. So what we're talking about over here is a metaphor for those inyanim that had been put in initially into the Bria and have been sitting maturing across all of the thousands of years of history since, and are now ready to be partaken of. So that's a reference, Kabbalistically, that's a reference to the upper Midas that were never in Nisgala in the Olam, because what we deal with, of course, is the Chesed and Gvura and Tiferes and so on of the Bria through Malchus. But the original Midas that set everything up, that was Chochma, Bina, and Das, and that is Merumas in those Ayin Leirasa. Resh Lakish Eimer, Ze Eden. Eden, no human eye has ever perceived Eden. What do you mean? V'im Tomar, you'll ask me, where do you think Adam Arishan lived? That's where he lived. Didn't he live in Eden? No, he didn't. He lived in that garden. That garden isn't Eden. And if you try to tell me it is, Im Tomar, well, the Gan is Eden itself, right? No, it's not. Take a look at the pasuk. V'nahar yotzei me Eden lashkot et ha-Gan. So obviously, there's something more primal and more the source, which is Eden. That's the source of the water of the Gan. So if that's the case, then the Yain HaMeshum HaRubah is the things that were in their original form of purity, of what was all possibilities that came from that Eden, that is the Yain HaMeshum HaRubah. Okay, so this brings us to the end of the first piece of the Mishnah. In the first piece of the Mishnah, we spoke about people who are kafer in Trias HaMesim, and they don't have a chelek in Trias HaMesim. The next thing we learned was, Ha'emer ein Torah min HaShamayim. Tana Rabbana. So the Brisa explains, included in that is the general sense that we find mamish in the Pasuk, where it's talking about the ideas of Avodah Zarah and Megadev, and so what does it say over there? Ki Dvar Hashem Baza Vet Mitzvatov Haifar Hikaret Tikaret. So that is referring to what? Zeh Omer Ein Torah Min HaShamayim. Somebody who is Mevazah the Dvar Hashem is to say that this amazing Dvar Hashem was not the Dvar Hashem at all. He never said any of this stuff. It's not valuable enough to be looked at as a Dvar Hashem. Dvar Acher. Dvar Hashem Baza could be referring to an apikoros. Now, we have no idea what that means exactly, but the Gemara will be discussing it shortly. Dvar Acher, ki Dvar Hashem Baza, ze hamagale panim batorah. That's people who speak chutzpahdikli, and they think they can play games with things that are written in the Torah. They make up their own medrashim of shtuyot, and this is like their little snide kind of way of saying over the inyanim of the Torah. So let's take a look at the next piece, which says, Ve'et mitzvato hefar, what's that referring to? Ze'a mefar brit basar. So that's someone who does not get a brit milah, or if he was already given a brit milah, so he attempts to make it look as if he doesn't have a brit milah. So it's mosher bar lato. He keeps up the skin that is underneath what was the area that was exposed. He lifts the skin up and he keeps it in that position so that it stretches in such a way that it looks like there is skin around the top of his penis that is really being pulled up from below. That person, what does it say? Hikaret, tikaret. What's the double lashon? Hikaret b'olam hazeh, tikaret olam haba, and mikan amar Rebbe Elazar Hamoda'i, that since the way that we talk about these things is in such a general sense of being mevazeh, or we don't say what that means, or being mayfair. We don't say exactly what that means. So that means that whatever you can understand as being a bizui on that level, somebody who's Mechalel as HaKodashim, so he basically is going to, maybe he'll eat Kachim Betuma or Chum Betuma, or he'll be Mechalel the Kalim of Kodesh, whatever, all of those things, even though they're very broad, or somebody who is Mevazeh et HaMoadot, which is a Bachlokas Rishonim, Sublar Mevazeh et HaMoadot, is a reference, Dafka, to not treating Chol HaMayed with any Kedusha. So in other words, because it's Chol, and therefore you're able to do Malacha, so he goes and he dresses in Chol HaMayed the way he dresses on every day. He says, oh, this is not really any Kedusha here. So that is being Mevazeh, the Moed aspect. Not the Kedusha of the Moed, but Mevazeh is HaMoadot. The Rambam learns B'Pashtas that it means somebody who doesn't have covet for the actual yontif itself. So he doesn't have special seudas and so on yontif. So that would also be a bizoyan. Or hamefer brito shel Avraham Avinu, as we spoke about, makes it look like he doesn't have a brit milah. Or is begale panim batorah shelok halacha, which we're going to be explaining what that means, that he speaks in divrei Torah in ways that are, the Shalok Halacha doesn't make much sense over here, which is Shalok Halacha, that he says things that are not true. That's not the point really here. And some change the girsa because of that. And Hamalbin Pnecha Vero Barabim, which also some take out, because Lechora, it does not seem to be part of what you would derive from Dvar Hashem Baza, right? So how could he be reading this into the Dvar Hashem Bazah. So because of that, actually, some of the Rishonim don't include it. If you take a look in the Rif, it's not included in the Rif's quote from this Gemara. So apparently he didn't have this in the Gemara. In any event, you could say that those Girsaot that have it, they have it because since the Adam is B'Tzelem Elohim, and a person is Malbim, so he's Mevaza an Adam publicly, that's the equivalent of being Mevaza Maisef Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same way, like, remember that we had the Gemara before about needing to take down the person. It was Lo Talin Nivlato. So we said over there, Moshel Amad Avedema, that the king brother was a gangster, and they hanged the king's brother. And because of that, everybody said, look, the Melech is Toei, remember? So therefore, the Torah says, takes it down. It shouldn't be a bizoyan for the Tzelem Elohim. And the same thing could be true maybe over here. Okay, apparently, as I said, quite a few of the Rishonim don't seem to take that as a very good explanation. So Ava Pish Yesh B'Yad HaTorah Ma'asim Tovim Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. Such a person may have tremendous chuyos. He may know tons of Torah, and as we know, tons of Torah and tons of Ma'asim Tovim for some reason doesn't seem to help people not to be mevaza other people, not to speak Lashon Hara, not to do all of the worst possible sins. It's a little bit frightening, and yet that's the way it is. So it doesn't matter how much Torah Ma'asim Tovim you have, Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. The Rambam, you will recall, doesn't say that if you once do such a thing. He says someone who is rogil, this is his derech, is that he speaks in this fashion, and that he's not careful about the way that he talks about other people or causes bizoyant to other people, Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. But it's not like for each time that a person would be mevaza someone, Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. That's how the Rama brings it to Parshtas. Tanya Ida, there's another braita that talks about the same inyanim and explains that the meaning of Kidvar Hashem Bazah, someone who puts down the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, refers to someone who says Ein Torah Min HaShamayim, as we just learned, and it expands on that idea. Afilu Amar Kol HaTorah Kulo Min HaShamayim. No, I believe it's all divine, except for this one pasuk, which was only divine inspiration. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say this pasuk. Moshe said this pasuk on his own. That's also Dvar Hashem Bazah. It's not a question of how much bizoyan. It's a question of bizoyan. V'afilu amar kol ha'Torah kulo min ha'Shamayim. I believe everything has been ha'Shamayim. Chutz midikduk zeh, mikal v'chomer zeh, migzeh reshova zeh, zeh ki Dvar Hashem Bazah. Unless, I believe in Kol HaTorah Min HaShamayim, but I don't believe that this particular extra yud or extra vav, that's Min HaShamayim, or missing a yud, or missing a vav. So, chaseros, yaseros, those are digdukim, and that I don't believe that that's Min HaShamayim. Or a Kal V'Chomer that's in the Torah, most learned. That doesn't mean a Kal, because a Kal V'Chomer is logic. I mean, it's nothing to do with a Kal V'Chomer being Min HaShamayim. But those Kal V'Chomers that the Gemara traces are meant to be a Kal V'Chomer in the Pasuk, maybe, but it's what it's referring to. Others just take out Kal V'Chomer completely. Or Gzeira Shava. This is Dvar Hashem Bazah. Tanya, are you Rabbi Meir Omer? You know what Dvar Hashem Bazah means? This is somebody who learns Torah, and he doesn't teach it to anybody else. I mean, somebody who actually sees Divrei Torah as being life, and the entire essence of life, it's impossible for him to say, I'm going to keep this for myself. I mean, you can't keep it to yourself. It's just psychologically impossible. So it must be that deep down, you know, you view Torah as being your source of esoteric power and knowledge. That's not Torah. So that's a bizoyan for the Dvar Hashem. Rabbi Natan Omer, kol mi she'inu mashgiach ala Mishnah, somebody who is not, he doesn't take a look. Now, the question is, what exactly is meant over here by Mishnah? I mean, does it mean literally the Mishnah as learning the way Rebbe learned the Mishnah? Or does it mean Chazorah? He's not makbid on Mishnah. He's not makbid on going over the halacha. Or maybe he holds that Mishnah in general, which is the discussions in Teresh Baal Peh on the Teresh B'Ksav. Now that I know Torah, but I don't pay much attention to those drushes. That could also mean what it means. Rabbi Noray Omer, Kol she'efshar la'asot b'Torah ve'ino osek. This is a person. There's absolutely no reason why this person should not be Isaac Patera. He's got plenty of free time. But, you know, he needs his free time for going to the movies and relaxing. And I don't really have time for a Seder in my life. That's a Dvar Hashem Baza. That's like the least important thing in your life. Much more important is gym, movies, social gatherings. If that isn't a Bizoyan to Torah, then I don't know what is. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Noray Omer, the Koshev Shal Asik B'Torah Noisik. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, someone who is Oved Avodis Kochovim is the Bizoyan of Dvar Hashem. Where do we see that? My Mashma, the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Ki Dvar Hashem Baza, it's Dafka the Dvar Hashem that he was Baza. So what is the Dvar Hashem? I mean, the Kol HaTorah Kula is the Dvar Hashem. That must be the Mavaza, the one Dibur that was Nemar Lo L'Yisrael B'Sinai. So I have the Girsa, which makes more sense. So that's meant, and there's Nemar Lahem as the Gro changes it, because otherwise, what does it mean, L'Moshe? It means the specific Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha, which Chazal say those mitzvahs were given directly to Yisrael, and that was the only thing that we actually heard on Har Sinai directly. That is the special Dvar Hashem. So that must be Anochi Hashem Elo Yelecha Elohim Achirim. Those are the Dvar Hashem that if you're Mevaza, then Ikaret Tikaret. So that means that it's somebody who is Eved Avedes Kerchavim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Aimer. Kol Aloy Meitera. Once we're talking about what it is that the chashivas of Limud HaTorah and teaching Torah to others is, so we move on to take a look at the way that people learn, which also is very important in determining how much the person is mechuber to Torah. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, look, if you have a person who learns Torah and he never chazers, so what is he like? Imagine a person who claims to be a farmer. So what does he do with his farming? Oh, he spends a lot of time, you know, on his tractor, his nice air-conditioned tractor, in which he's dropping these seeds into the ground, but he never comes back to actually harvest those seeds. So, you know, this is a farmer. I mean, the guy's having fun planting seeds. So that's what you're like. Somebody he learns, but he never gives himself the opportunity of reviewing. Rabbi Yeshua, Amen. This is somebody who learns Torah and forgets it and doesn't do what is necessary to remember it. You know what he's like? He's like a woman who gives birth to children and they immediately die and she buries them. So forgetting something, remember, is a small death. Each forgetting that a person goes through is losing a little piece of himself. That's a death of that piece. And so in that sense, a woman is the same here as a person who gave birth to this Torah and then buries it. And Rabbi Akiva says, that means, so question, does it zemer b'choyom, is it zamer, loshen tzivoy, sing every day. Sing every day. So either approach, the point is that if you're mizamer in Olam Hazeh, this is one of the pshatim that Rashi brings. If you're mizamer in Olam Hazeh, then you'll be mizamer in Olam Haba. That's zamer b'choyom and zamer b'choyom. So that means you actually become like a famous singer, so to speak, right? To be a zamar, it also be a zamar b'choyom. So it could be zamar b'choyom, Zamer b'choyom, as the verb, the Torah should be a zemer b'choyom. So that means you should be constantly reviewing and constantly singing, which of course the Hasidim explain to mean that if you learn Torah b'simcha, like a zemer, then you won't forget it. So if it's a zemer, so then it's going to be a Torah that will not be mishakcha. So that connects it back to the dvarim that we had before. It's not just about Hazara. It's about what to do not to forget. I think this is an option of a Rebbe said. That's like the greatest segula for not forgetting. The happier you are, the divrei Torah, as you learn them, the less chance there is that you're ever going to forget them. Omar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avudimi, where do we see in the pasuk that the way that the person is mischaber to something and how much he reviews it and how much he cares about it, that is the zemer to the zemer, shenema, nefesh amel, amalalo, ki achafel of pio. So what does it say here? That if a person is working on Torah, the Torah will work for him. So that means, as we'll see in a moment, that means that the things that he already learned, they keep circulating around in his brain, and they discover always new things. Oh my gosh, that's what that means. It's mischaber to the new things. I'm sure all of you have had that experience. You're learning something, and all of a sudden, it connects to so many other things that you've learned before. So when do you have that sense of that magical expansion? Ki achaf alav piu. So it's very interesting because this is an expression in English as well. A kaf is a lotion of a saddle, right? So he saddles up to it. So you made your mouth like a saddle for Divrei Torah. So you say, oh, he's really saddled with that responsibility. That's an expression in English. That's this pasuk. An ukaf is a saddle. So a kafal of pio, somebody who has that relationship with Torah, that is constantly saddled with it, his mouth is saddled to it. See, he may be learning in Sanhedrin. Meanwhile, the Torah that he learned before, it's still going through his head. And that Torato, omelet lo b'makom acher, that's working in other places. And another remez, of course, of makom acher, is that it's working in the Shamayim, in front of the Shechina, and that it's constantly making schar for him. Omar Rabbi Elazar, you know, man was born for toil. Kol Adam la'amal nivra. It says beferish in the pasuk in Iyov, ki Adam la'amal yulad, that man was born for all of his work. Now, if you read that pasuk, you don't know what it's talking about. What kind of work? Eni yodea, im la'amal pen nivra, im la'amal melacha nivra. What does that mean? That you're supposed to be doing mental work? Or does it mean you're supposed to be doing physical work? This can be true even in terms of the limud, because, I mean, in terms of, I mean, of Torah, you could say maybe he's amma malacha. That could be the work that he does in doing mitzvahs, in all of those things that are part of your physical effort in being mekayim the Torah. Or was his essential toil in life, was it really mental toil, or the work that he does with his mouth? So those things could be not only Torah, they could be all other kind of things. So first, let's determine whether we're talking about straight out physical work or we're talking about more of the mental work. Well, since the pasuk says ki achaf alav pihu, as we just read, so obviously you're supposed to saddle a mouth, and that means that it's your work with your mouth in life, not with your arms, your biceps. Aviyom el amal penivra. But I don't know whether that means, does it mean Amal Torah specifically? Or maybe it means Amal Sicha? You know, there's all kinds of things you can do with your mouth. You can do tremendous chesed with your mouth, do tremendous business with your mouth. What a mouth. So, Adayin Eini Yodea, if we're talking about Amal Torah, Im Amal Sicha, Tashomer Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Ze Mipicha. This Sefer Torah cannot leave your mouth. So clearly, the one thing that's expected to be with you at all times is Amal Torah. Look, every body on this planet is essentially a bulldozer. Now, the question is, what are you going to bulldoze your way through life with? Because you're going to be putting out a lot of energy in being that bulldozer. So a droptaki is an agent of, you know, excavation, of working on things. whatever that agent is, it's an instrument of putting out a tremendous amount of force. Tovi l'dezache da'avi druk takei d'oraita. Happy and fortunate are those who are zeicha that they should be the bulldozers in Tera Inyoni. This idea we've seen many times, that the relationship to Tera is always viewed as a sexual relationship. So we have the connection of Eshes Chayil to being the nature of Tera, or we've had many different things. We have the Schus of Tamei Chachomim is always referred to as the same way that to the Goyim they would talk about sexual issues. So too, when it says in Mishlei, Noef Isha Chasar Lev, someone who screws around with other women, this is a person who doesn't have a heart. What does that mean? Amar Reish Lakish, that's somebody who learns Torah on and off. So he doesn't have any real relationship with the Torah. He's basically screwing around. So today, you know, oh, I heard a nice vort today about whatever, you know. So now this is his learning for the day. He gets on the bus and anybody that he sits next to has to listen to the vort that he heard today, you know. It doesn't mean anything to him because there's no permanent relationship with it. So what's he like? He's like a guy who goes around from one house to the other committing adultery. This woman, that woman. That is chasar lev. It man has no heart. Shenemar ki na'im ki tishmerem bevitnecha yikonu yachdav al sefatecha. You know, when it's nice, it's nice when you keep them inside of you as if this is your life and they're always there on your lips, not somebody who gives a kiss now and then to some pretty girl that he finds. Tana Rabbana, v'nefesh asher ta'ase b'yad rama. So we talked about the pasuk in terms of being a dvar Hashem boza, but remember that the whole parsha there begins with saying v'nefesh asher ta'ase b'yad rama. So there we move on from there. That is someone who is Hashem Begadev. That is someone who is Dvar Hashem Baza. What is that referring to? Biyad Rama, the guy just acts high-handedly, we say. Literally, high-handed is Biyad Rama. So what is that? That is somebody like Menashe. This is Chizkiah's son. The reason that he didn't want to get married in the first place was because he knew what kind of son he was going to have. He knew how highly overrated children are, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to get the job done anyway. So it was the kind of things that this Menashe Ben Chizkiah would do. So he would sit around and he would be the big chacham, you know, like these, unfortunately, like Hanei Rabbanan, which the Gemara is about to discuss. So I Yoshev V'Doresh Ba'Agodah Shal Doifi. So he would say over, you know, he would talk about the Divrei Torah, but ridiculing the Divrei Torah. You mean to tell me that Moshe had nothing else to bother talking about other than what's the name of Lotan's sister? I mean, really, this is going to change your life, buddy. All you need to know is the name of Lotan's sister, and now you're going to be Zoche to Olam. You guys got to be crazy, man. So he says, Lo ayala la Moshe lechtov ala achot Lotan Timna, you know? Or we have to know, of course, who Timna is whoring around with. I mean, really, this is so exciting. Timna haitapilegesh, alifaz, or I need to know what kind of flowers Reuven went out and he picked flowers for his mom. Gee, isn't that nice? So thousands of years ago, some stupid kid went out and picked flowers for his mommy. Thank you, Moses, for that supreme wisdom, and we're really grateful. That's the type of thing that he used to be derish. So in that, a voice came out, Ben HaShamayim, Yatzta bat kol ve'amra, teshev be'achicha tedaber, titein, yirtzak be'benim b'cha titein dofi. This is what you think you're going to get away with. You sit there and you speak against your own brother. You make fun of your mother's son. And you do those kind of things all the time. Ela asita ve'cherashti. And I don't say anything. So you think, I'll bet, that I'm like you. Say whatever the hell you want. We don't care. Demita yota yoko mocha. You think I'm going to be like you? Oh, no, man. I will show you up. I will tear you apart in front of your own eyes. The alav meforash bekabbalah. Hoy moshei ha'avon bechavlei ha'shav u'chavot ha'agalach ha'ta'ah. This is the idea of Beglei Hashav. Remember, we've spoken about this pasuk in Yeshayahu. So what are Chavlei Hashav? These are like ropes that are made out of nothingness. People who do these little things and they pay no attention to them, and they think they're not going to, in the end, completely define them. And now you're talking about the types of thick ropes that you can drag a whole 18-wheeler with. So what is that referring to? Kavota agala. Amr Basi, this whole pasuk is talking about the way that the Yetzirah impacts a person. So it starts, you know, you say something with a little bit of ridicule, a tone of cynicism in your voice. Okay, so that to you, what is that? L'chuchokuvia. It's like a spider's thread, you know. You can simply snap it in a moment. What's it going to do to you? And in the end, l'basov domela avota agala. In the end, it becomes a cable that's strong enough to drag an 18-wheeler with, meaning that it's almost impossible for you to get away after it's thread upon thread upon thread that becomes these very powerful twisted cables that are made out of hundreds of thousands of separate pieces are almost impossible to break away from. By the way, what is the pshat in those weird psukim? Who does give a hang about that kind of stuff? I mean, he sounds right now that you mention it. So once we've spoken about it, the Atanal, I mean, I would never raise it, but you know, if Menashe ben Chizkiah already raises the question, I mean, who cares? The Atanal miyat. What is the meaning of Achot lo tantimna? Why is this so important? Mayi, says the Gemara, because the point is this. You have to first establish who Timna was. So since it says she was the sister of Lotan, that teaches us that she was a princess. So Timna bat melachim havoi. Dechtiv, you want to trace back who Lotan was? Aluf Lotan, Aluf Timna. Now, Aluf, the meaning of the word Aluf is essentially a chieftain, right? Now, a chieftain is the equivalent of, in a more advanced society, a king, but it's like a king without a crown. So in other words, it's an unofficial power center that you cannot withstand, but it's not the type of thing that requires coronation and people's official acceptance, but it's that sense of power. So since Lotan was an aluf, and his sister is called Timna, so she's obviously a member of the equivalent of royalty. So what happens? Ba'ili iguriure. She decided she wants to be part of Mishpachat Avram Avinu. She comes to Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Doesn't mean literally Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, but in other words, to the Am of Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, that as Rambam describes, there was always a Bezdin from the time of Avram Avinu, Zakei V'Yoshev Yeshiva, as the Gemara says. V'lo kiblua. They did not want to be mekabeler as a ger, as a gioret, because they considered that she wasn't l'shem shamayim. She's looking for, you know, she wants to become a member of the family, means she wants somebody to marry her. So she decided she's going to become a pilegesh to Eliphaz ben Esav. So the point of saying that part was to point out, not that she's a whore, it was to point out that she must have been thinking to herself, how in the world does a princess become a pelegish, for heaven's sakes? Because she must have been thinking. Mutav shetehe tivshifcha lumazo velo tehe gvira luma acheret. It's more meaningful for my life to be just a shivcha, which is a nice way of saying it, to this nation, so even though this is Esav, but at least it's connected to Avram Avinu, rather than to be a princess in my own people. Wow, what an incredible madrega. And what came out of her Besiris Nefesh? Nafak mina amalek l'tzarinu liyisro. What came out of her tremendous mesiras nefesh to be mizdabek to Yisro was that she was able to give birth to Amalek who would try to destroy Yisro throughout all of history. This was something that my Rebbe used to speak about all the time. The fact that people have mesiras nefesh, that don't mean anything. The question is, what is their mesiras nefesh for? That's the question. So, yes, absolutely, you can accomplish incredible things with the amount of commitment that you have and mesiras nefesh that you have. Yeah, that's very impressive. But the particulars of the direction and the input and the investment, which you think, well, the important thing is that he really cares. You know what people always, his heart's in the right place. You know, look how much he cares. Yeah, exactly. So with that kind of care, that's what it takes to destroy the world. So the more care you have on that level, the more dangerous you are. And that's the point. That is an incredible lesson of what it takes to be able to destroy Klal Yisrael, is these people who are coming to actually give their hearts to Yisrael, you know? And how did it? Yeah, paved with good intentions, exactly. So my timer, so how was it actually that Yisroel ended up in this position, that they would be given that kayach to be able to hurt Yisroel? That was because of the basic way that they didn't respond. They should not have been so close-minded to push her away. So now these rabbis, they always have a reason not to accept a ger. You know, well, it's not completely l'shem shamayim. There's really a boy in the life, whatever it is. Instead of doing their best to be able to be mekabel someone who is clearly so driven to be nichnas the tachas kanfei hashchina. And because of that, it turned out that we became vulnerable to the attacks that were the result of the tremendous commitment that she had been ready to bring. You know, another beautiful place that we just had, that we see the same Nakuda also, my Rebbe used to point out. You take a look at the story that we just had of Yishbi Benov and of Orpah and of Golios. The truth is, the Gemara goes through elsewhere. All three of her children tried to destroy David HaMelech. So the idea over there was, originally, who was the one that was leading the attempt to get close to Naomi and to go back with her to Eretz Yehuda was Orpah, because in the pasuk it lists Orpah first. Then Naomi pushes back, right? And she says, you know, this is bad for you. Why do you want to ruin your life? Go back to your own people. That way you'll have a husband. Isha beit isha. Then Orpah decided, you know, it's true. This is the wrong thing. And because of that, Orpah, so it says over there, that night Orpah really did become a whore. And she slept with these 100 plishtim and with a dog. And that was the whole Golios's comment. What do you think? I came from the dog. Akelav Anochi, that he says to David. But the point is that it was that same level of commitment that when it turns in the wrong direction, it becomes immensely powerful. So look what you have. You have, on the one hand, Mashiach that comes from Rus with all of its commitment and all of Klal Yisrael's commitment to be Megalek Vechamayim. And then you have Orpah's commitment to be the one that is Cheref, the Marachot of Elohim Chai, that makes fun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that stands for the whole nature of the Plishtim as Ha'orel Hazeh, the opposite of Yisrael in every way. It's an astounding thing. An astounding thing, which you very often see psychologically in people that escape from cults or escape from a habit. You know, it's the new non-smoker who goes around grabbing cigarettes out of everybody's mouth and putting them out on their hands. Those are the ones that are most dangerous. So the same thing is true there. Somebody escapes a cult, he becomes the biggest anti. Somebody leaves a yeshiva, he becomes the person that wants to destroy everything. This is very, very common. Vayelech Ruvain, what about the next pasuk that Menashe made fun of? Here's the little boy who picked flowers for his mommy. So important for us to know that he went to the field. I mean, really, do I care if he went to a field or if he went to the backyard. Omar Rava Barabi Yitzchak Omar Rav, of course you need to know that. Bikama tzadikim shein poshtin yadayim begazal. There's so much that you could take from a field that's a lot more valuable than dudaim. And as Rashi says in the Chumash, he took the thing that nobody cares about. So if he's going to take something, he's going to be very careful that it shouldn't be chas v'chalila, that he's bringing his mother a gift of gizela. Vayimtza dudaim basadeh. What exactly are dudaim? So Rav says, dudaim are yavruchi. Levi says, they're sigle. And Rabbi Yonatan says, they're seviske. Okay, that goes beyond our word. In the Hanukkah book, I discuss some of the really important inyanim that we do learn out, and how central the whole story of the Dudaim was to all of history, not just this particular Nakuda, but there's no time for that here. Anyway, going back to Menashe, what about those people who actually learned Torah Lishma, in which every word counts and every word is a chelak of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the love of Emes? Omer of Alexandria, kol ha'osek b'Torah Lishma, meisim shalom b'famalia shalmala u'b'famalia shalmata. Such a person brings a tremendous sense of peace between the Shamayim and between the Oretz and between those who are constantly fighting against, look at these humans, what a mess they are. Shneimar, O yachzeik b'mozi, yaser shalom li, shalom yaser li. Those are the two, shalom li, shalom yaser li. Those who are imbe to be Isaac b'teira, b'shamayim, b'oretz, and those in the shamayim who always wanted the Torah for themselves. Rav Amar, kilu bana platrin shalmala v'shalmata. It's as if you built the mokum of the Shechina, both in the shamayim and on earth. Shenemer v'asim devorai beficha uvetzel yadi kisiticha lintoa shamayim v'liyisod oretz. So there you are to plant on the right basis the whole shamayim and to put down foundations for the earth. Rabbi Yochanan Omar af megin al kol olam kulay. A person like that who's being leimei Torah lishma is as a shield for the entire world. Shenamar uvitzel yadi kisiticha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is a protection over the whole world. V'levi omer af mikarevet ha-geula. Shenamar v'leimor le-tzion amiyata. So that's the end of that pasuk. So that means to make those who are leimei Torah on this level to create the future for Tzion, which is a reference to the coming of Mashiach. Omar Resh Lakish, Ko Hamelamed et Ben Chaviro Torah. We started off this discussion by somebody who wants to learn Torah and not teach it. But the opposite, somebody who learns Torah and teaches it to another person's son, not only to his own. Ma'aleva ka'lava katuv kilo asa'o. It's as if that individual actually created that child. Shenemar, we see by Avram Avinu, ve'et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. How do you make a nefesh? You make a nefesh by being mekarev of them to Torah. Rabbi Elazar Omer, kilo asana divrei Torah. It's as if he created the very Torah that he's teaching, because it says, ushmartem et divrei ha-brit hazot va'azitem otam. You should make the divrei ha-brit hazot. Rav Omer, it's making yourself. Kilo asa'ola atzmo. Shemar vasitem otam atigre. Otam. Ela vasitem atem. Make yourselves. Build yourselves. And don't think you're doing anybody else a favor. Amar Rebbe Abo. Kol ha-ma'aset chavirolet var mitzvah. The same thing is true. If you can inspire a person to get involved in doing a particular mitzvah, same thing, the idea we had of giving tzedakah, getting other people to give tzedakah with you, it's as if you yourself did that mitzvah. Shenemar, umatecha asher hikita bo et hayor. So Moshe Rabbeinu is told, take along the mateh that you had used to hit the yor of at the beginning. But Moshe never hit the yor, remember? Moshe wasn't allowed to hit the yor, because after all, the yor had been that which saved Moshe. So how does the pasuk say such a thing? V'chi Moshe hiko. Hello, Aaronico. I mean, that was the whole idea, that don't say to Aaron Achicha that he should be Makadiyor. So what does this teach me if HaKadosh Baruch himself refers to the yor that you hit? Moshe told Aaron, you be the one to hit the yor. It's as if he did it himself. Now, the next thing that we had was the apikoros. But we don't know exactly what that means. I mean, what does it mean? A follower of an Epicurean follower, is that what it means? That's clearly where the word is taken from. But what aspect do we mean when we talk about an apikoros? I mean, maybe it comes from the, remember, we only take words into Lashon HaKodesh when they have meaning in Lashon HaKodesh as well. So we called something apikoros, Epicurean, if it wasn't somehow merames to the idea of hefkeros, you know. So it's somebody who finds his own approach to everything. So what particular aspect is it here that the Mishnah and the Braita were referring to? So in the Braita, it's within this whole context of the Mevazeh Divrei Torah and so on. So what is an apikoros? Rav and Rabbi Chanina both say it's someone who is Mevazeh a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says it's not even that. It's Zeh Mevazeh Chaveiro Bifnei Talmud Chacham. If somebody has so little respect for a Talmud Chacham that he would actually put down another person in front of a Talmud Chacham as if, you know, my view of things, it doesn't matter that somebody else would look at me at what I'm doing as being absolutely disgusting and inappropriate. I'm not even sensitive to his presence. So, Bisham Lamad Yom Rebbe Vazach Haveru Bifnei Talmud Chacham is an apikoros. So, okay, if you hold like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi here, like Rabbi Yochanan, so then what would be someone who is Mevaze Talmud Chacham Atzmo? So that person would actually be the individual who would, is even more of a chutzpah yak. So that would be Megala Panim B'Torah. Again, the Shalok HaLocha, like we said before, the Shalok HaLocha is disturbing, and therefore it doesn't make sense to have it here at all. So, but what about if you hold the Mevazeh Talmud Chacham Atzmo, he's the apikoros? So then, when you say Megala Panim B'Torah, what are you referring to? No, that's what we said before. So Rav and Reb Chanina, to them, the Megala Panim B'Torah, that's the reference to, like we said, Menasher ben Chizkia, that speaks cynically and ridicules Divrei Torah. Now that's the question of how you learn the Reish of the Braisa. But Ika D'Masila Seifa, there's some that say this whole discussion is talking about the last part of the Braita, which is, what is the meaning of Megala Panim B'Torah? And that's where we had the Machlokas. So Megala Panim B'Torah, Rav and Rabbi Chanina said, that's Mevazeh Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, that's Mevazeh someone in front of a Talmud Chacham. And now the analysis proceeds as follows. So Bishom Alman Diyamim Mevazeh Talmud Chacham Atzmo is called a Megala Panim B'Torah. So then that would mean that the meaning of an apikoros would be somebody who would be Mevazeh Chaveru Bifnei Talmud Chacham, which is not on the same madriga as Megala Panim B'Torah. But if you hold that the Mevazeh Chaveru Bifnei Talmud Chacham is a Megala Panim B'Torah, so what would be only an apikoros, which is a lower level? Amar Rav Yosef, it's like people who would say, the rabbis, they never do anything for us. Come on. What did Rome, I mean rabbis, ever do for us? You know, tell me something. They learn all day. Who do you think they're learning for? Themselves. They don't help me with all of that. Ledidhu karu, ledidhu tanu. So they're reading the Torah. They're reading the Shulchan Aruch. What do I give a hang about that? Omar le Abaye. No, that's not true. You're calling this person an apikoros. He's much worse than an apikoros. He's a Megala Panim B'Torah. He's directly attacking the whole value of Torah. He's not attacking the rabbis. This is a posikim lo briti yom of alayla chukot shemai voretz lo samti, the whole kiyum of the olam, which is the Torah. This person says the Torah has nothing to do with it, and that the world would be perfectly the same. Everything would work just fine, even if nobody ever was learning Torah. I mean, if you say that, so then you're not just being someone who has chutzpah against the Rabbanan, you're actually undermining the whole meaning of Torah and its value. Homer of Nachum bar Yitzchak, there's other places you could see that from. I mean, you don't have to be a bookie in Tanakh. If the person that says this kind of thing ever went to grammar school, I mean, he learned the Parshas in Bereishis. It says, Nasati l'chol ha'makom b'avuram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, you find me these 10 people and I'll save the whole place. I mean, he knows that. So how can he say it doesn't make any difference if he sees that the entire city or all of the 5 cities of Sodom would have been saved because of this? Because that's what tzaddikim mean. Those who are medubek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the only way to be mizdabek. Ella kagon de Yosef kamei rabbi. You know what this is? An apikoros is according to these shitas. Can't be somebody who says that. That guy is worse. This is somebody who's sitting and learning with his rebbe, right? So he's sitting there in shir. So he remembers something that he learned in a different shir. And he says, well, when we were learning that, this is how we explained it. What do you mean this is how we explained it, Kimasabi? You know, who's we? So he should have said, this is the way Rebbe explained it. No, now it's, this is how we learned there. And that itself, that's apikursus. Instead of saying, Omar Mar, Hochi, Hochi, Omar Mar, he says, this is what we said. Rova Omar, Kaganani, Devei, Bin Yomin, Asya. You know, it's like, you know, these people of that famous hospital, Bin Yomin, Asya. They say, Baya Hanile Rabbonon. You know, what good do rabbis ever do for us? I mean, let me ask you something. Did they ever say that you're allowed to eat a crow? No. So they're not going to change anything, right? Lo shor lo nurva. Did they ever say, you see that dove? You're not allowed to eat doves. No, they never say that. So basically, we have all of this information. It's all in the holy books. We know ourselves what's kosher, what's not kosher. We could go to rabbis. So Rava, whenever they used to bring a suffix trefa from that family, from the house of this binyamin, of the doctor, and they asked him to paskin, so if he saw a way to be matur the trefa, he would say, okay, now look, I am telling you, you can eat this crow, so you better eat humble pie. And kiavichos le'taymele yisura, if he saw that there was a reason to say it's usher, he would say, please note, sir, the chazudaka asrana l'chuyona. I took a dove and I said, you're not allowed to eat this. It's a crow. So don't tell me anymore, my ani l'rabbanan, or don't bother ringing my doorbell with your shilas on trefas. Okay, Rabbi, say.